Welcome to Bored Women. I'm the founder, Caroline Keelock, and in every episode, I talk to women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond who are embracing board sports to increase their confidence.
For me, it's just like being on top of the world. It's like breathing out a massive breath, like going up that first trail lift and looking down the mountain, or looking across the mountain. It's just my shoulders drop. It's just relaxation. I just love it.
This week, I'm chatting to the brilliant Zoe DePass, who I've actually known in various ways because we used to work together at a fashion communications agency. But since then, she's become most known for founding Dress Like a Mum, which is a movement that gets mums to prioritise their style, but also prioritise fun after having children. She's also known as this snowboarding obsessive, so I wanted to find out more about what she's doing in bringing that to the forefront of her business. All right, so welcome to the Bored Women podcast, Zoe. Really lovely to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Hello, nice to be here.
We have a question that we ask everyone who comes onto the podcast, and that is, when did you last fall?
I love this question. So random. I last fell over last week. I think I was on the mountain, and I don't actually fall over that much very much anymore, but I think I did fall over last week.
Was it a big fall? How did you feel?
I mean, I was obviously snowboarding, and then I think I know what I was doing. I was trying to do these spinny pirouettes where you just, I don't know how to explain it, you just go like round and round in circles down a mountain, and I just fell over. It was good. Shows I was trying.
It does say, doesn't it? Yes, I think sometimes when people get really good at something, like you say, especially with snowboarding, you can get to that point where you don't really fall anymore, and it's almost a bit of a shock to the system when it happens, but it can be a good one or a negative one, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really stack it anymore. It will just be if I'm mucking around, I might fall over, or like if it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, when you learn to snowboard, you fall over like all the time. But yeah, now I could spend like days, a whole week with like falling over maybe once or barely sitting down. You used to spend a lot of time on your butt, but no, I don't. But I definitely did fall over last week, definitely.
We had a woman who came to our snowboarding event on Friday, and for a few of them, it was the very first time they'd been on a snowboard. And they were talking about, I guess I might fall on my bottom, I might fall on my knees. And I was like, you will fall on your bottom all of the time. Like most of the lesson, you'll probably come out with a soggy bum. And they were like, oh. And I was like, but it will be fine. Like, that's just part of it. But you will fall on your bum. Like, just be prepared for that. And they were like, oh, okay. And they were fine. So for anyone who has heard of you, the most likely route, I would say, is that they've known you for Dress Like a Mum. And obviously that was launched to dispel the myth that mums can't dress and to inspire women not to lose themselves once they became mums. And that's how it started, but it's grown into something much bigger, I would say, over time. Can you just talk to us about how Dress Like a Mum came about?
Yeah, I mean, Dress Like a Mum was, I mean, I set it up for various reasons, but I guess the main one was a kind of reaction against a stereotype that I was being placed in, and that was that, you know, all mums wear skinny jeans and stripy tops. And, you know, when I got approached by someone who accused me of not looking or dressing like a mum, I was like, well, how dare you? Like, that's exactly what I am, and I'm not alone. Like, loads of mums, like, you know, dressing in interesting things, or, you know, fashionable. They don't lose their sense of style just, you know, because they've become a mum. But I think now it's kind of emerged more into like acting like a mum, I guess, like, you know, still remembering who you are. The emphasis is on having fun, whether that's festivals, snowboarding, going out with your friends, making cocktails, like all the normal stuff, you know, making time for yourself that, you know, you did before becoming a mum, but, you know, you might have forgotten. So it's a kind of reminder to still be you, despite whatever parenthood throws at you, I think.
Did you have a period at all where you forgot that at any point? Or was it always that it was essential to you and you were surprised that for others maybe losing themselves was something that was quite common?
No, definitely. I mean, I set up Dress Like a Mum after having my, like straight after having my second child. So I kind of started dabbling in it when I was at the end of my second pregnancy, because I was still very much dressing how I would normally dress. And that's kind of where the idea started bubbling. You know, the people in the agency actually that we met at were very surprised, like, how you could be stylish and pregnant. And so it kind of, the seed was like starting to kind of grow then. And I think before, you know, my first pregnancy, I definitely was like, went from this busy, bustling agency where I was talking to interesting people all day to being a bit like, oh, right, now what? Like, you're on with a baby, just in the middle of Peckham, not really knowing anyone. You know, we moved like 4 days before he was born. So it was a bit of a like, who am I here? You know, and like, you know, of course, there are days where you just can't be bothered. So you just pick up yesterday's jeans and it might be a stripy top off the floor. Like, no shame in that. But it was definitely like a kind of, you know, it was a kind of new place I hadn't been in before, where I was a bit like, oh, right, okay, I'm kind of still me, but what, like, where am I? And I do remember going, you know, to like this local pub, which was hosting a mum event, you know, mum coffee morning, and very much being the odd one out. You know, I was like blue nail varnish and I don't know, dungarees, and they were all a bit like, wow, who are you, kind of thing. But I definitely needed it to kind of keep my, you know, keep myself feeling myself.
And you said over time, obviously, it's become a bit more of a call to action to not lose what you really enjoy in life through motherhood. Bald spots is obviously something that's been in your narrative quite since the beginning, I would say, that it's particularly the mountains are things that you love.
Yeah.
What's your own history with board sports? So, you know, I know you've dabbled with surfing, you've dabbled with skating, you know, how do they come to life for you?
So at uni, I did a tiny bit of skateboarding. I mean, if I'm honest, it was mainly because I fancied the skateboarders and I actually had a housemate who was a skateboarder. So I was like, hey, I reckon I could do that. So I had a little bit of skating, but, you know, there was no support for girls. There was no other girls. It was just me, you know, having a little go on a friend's skateboard a few times. But I think if at university had there been a girls' skate club, like, I would have joined that for sure. But and then I guess snowboarding for me started, do you know what, I remember just watching it. I think it was on T4 or something. I remember watching when I was about 14, 15, and I was like, oh my God, what is that? I have to try that. And I never did, you know, I think I did one like afternoon skiing when I was a kid, that was it. And I was like, I have to do that. So as soon as I was, you know, 16, working in a pub, saving money, meeting people at sixth form college, that was when I kind of was like, right, who wants to come and learn to snowboard with me? And it was that, it was all self-funded, you know, there was no other influence in my life that was snowboarding. It was just this incredible desire that I just had to do it. And so, you know, it'd be like work in the pub or work wherever I was working, save up the money, get a few people together, and like more often than not, I was the only girl on the trip. You know, it would just be like, oh, three mates who are all boys. I think I got a couple of girls to come a few times, but, you know, I was definitely the minority in the group. And then just go to wherever was cheapest and learn to snowboard, and I just kept going at it. And then after university, I left a very good design job to go and do a ski season in Chamonix. And what, you know, was meant to be 3 months, I stayed there for 3 years. And then, yeah, and then, like, just loved it. Like, love, you know, I just love everything about being in the mountains. I just love snowboarding so much. And then, obviously, had the kids, you know, did a few trips with, like, my, you know, now husband and some mates, kept that up, and then had the kids, and then took them, you know, on little ski trips when we could afford it. And then, yeah, then recently, I guess, how long ago was it? Just before lockdown, set up the Women Who Ski and Snowboard.
So tell me a bit more about that, because I know you've just come back from hosting a trip in the mountains with Kaluma Ski. So how did just all of that come about? What prompted you to start to organise other women to come with you?
Yeah, so that all started, like I said, just before lockdown. So my friend, one of my best friends, Lucy, she lives out in St. Anton and works at Kaluma, the travel company. And I went out there. I had a 8-month-old baby, I think. I went out to see her and I invited a couple of friends, and we were there and we were just, I took the baby, you know, we had a nanny for the baby and I had to kind of ride down to give him a quick breastfeed and go back up. but it was very much like, this is awesome. Like the chats on the chairlift, like the, you know, I truly believe like board sports are brilliant for mental health because you're only thinking about getting down the mountain. You've got surrounded by like stunning scenery. So it's very much like cleared our heads. And we were like chatting. We were like, this is great. Like, I'm sure other people must be in, you know, what we call a ski-less marriage or want to give it a go. Or, you know, I think it's hard for women. Like, my best friend who snowboards is a teacher. So the only time I can go with her is in the school holidays, which is really hard when you have your own kids kind of thing. So I was like, God, I wish I had more people. And it kind of started from that idea. They were like, there must be other people who want to do this. And so Lucy and I kind of put this idea together, put it to Kaluma Ski. They were like, well, yeah. And they were, I actually think they didn't realize how successful it would be. They were very surprised. So we put the date, I promoted the date, the cost. People could come on their own or with a friend or, you know, whatever. It was just like, does anyone come with us? And like, yeah, loads of people did. So I think the first one we had about 14 people, I think. And then we were like, but the inquiries were like, you know, we had loads of inquiries. So then we moved it to a bigger chalet and that was 25 people. And then we suddenly took on 2 chalets. So that was, connecting chalet. So that was 35. And then we started doing 1 in January, 1 in March. So, you know, this year we've had 60 women come through with us and like all different levels, mixture of like really brilliant skiers and snowboarders to like literally the first time on the mountain, all different ages. I think the youngest probably is about 26 and the oldest maybe like 55, I think. And they all come for different reasons, you know, like one girl, it was her 40th. She used to love snowboarding. This is a girl I was with last week. She got a severely disabled son and her husband was like, what would you like for your 40th birthday? And she was like, I just want to go snowboarding. And so he just treated her and she came out. Amazing. And she was just like reborn. You know, another woman came because she wanted to go with her family, but was a bit nervous about going with, you know, for the first time ever with her family. So she came out having never even been to the mountains and she loves it. We've had, you know, just single women, you know, who don't have any friends to travel with. We've got people who come back all the time. We've got people who, you know, want to get away with their sister or, you know, like, I think as well, once you put the date in and you put the, you know, put the price, it's up to whoever wants to come. I think when you organize your own ski trip, there's so many variables like availability, budgets, you know, all this kind of thing. And when you put the stake in the ground and you just start the event, people just can make their own decision. So yeah, it's, oh my God, we like love doing it. It's just so good. And it's so much, it's not just about the snowboarding and skiing, you know, it's about like chatting. It's about like, you know, if you do something on your own, if you go on a holiday with some strangers on your own and you talk about yourself and you talk to others and share experiences, you come away from it feeling so empowered. And like that's probably like the best part of it for me. It's just like hanging out, like the banter and the kind of self-confidence the women leave with it.
I remember seeing you at a mother's meeting event in London, one of the ones that Jenny organizes, and seeing you speak about your goals for the year, and it was obviously just before this, I think, where you'd said, I just want to do some snowboarding events and somehow get them paid for so that I can snowboard more. And I remember at the time thinking, well, that's just as good a driver as any. And when I started Board Women, one of the things I said to my husband was, if the only thing that comes out of it is I get to snowboard, skate and surf more frequently with like-minded women, job done. I'll be really happy. Yeah. That's kind of like the main goal. And I think sometimes these amazing organizations can come about from just that personal driver of, I'd just like to do it more, actually.
Yeah.
and that's it.
Yeah, like I want to do it more, and I just want to have some more friends that to do it with. And now, you exactly. know, like I said, we just had 60 new friends come with me. So, yeah, like, I mean, Lucy and I are very much like, it's a passion project for us, this. And like the, yeah, oh my God, we just love it. It's just brilliant. And it's so much fun. And like, we make it so easy because I think, you know, we obviously get a mixture of women who are parents or who aren't, you know, like a huge mix of people. And the thing that we really emphasize is that it's their time away. And so we put together the itinerary that people can, or, you know, they don't have to join in if they don't want. We make restaurant, you know, if people are nervous skiing or snowboarding, they can get a lift to the restaurant. You know, nothing's a problem. And if they don't want to come, they don't want to come. We just make it like just their holiday. And I think people, women especially, are so often organizing so much stuff that when they come on holiday with us, we're like, yep, we've done it all. This is just come here and not, you know, do that. And they're like, yes, like save so much time.
Safe freeing. Yeah, it is. To hand over all of your decision making to somebody else for a few days. It's just really, really lovely. I think that's the appeal of retreats for me. You're obviously so passionate about the mountains, but can I ask you just to take a moment and close your eyes and describe to me what it feels like snowboarding? What does it feel like to you?
I mean, I think for me, it's just like being on top of the world. It's like breathing out a massive breath and just like, yeah, like going up that first trail lift and looking down the mountain, or looking across the mountains, just my shoulders drop, you know. It's just relaxation. It's like, I don't know. I'm just like got a massive smile on my face and yeah, I just love it.
Why do you think older women are particularly getting into these sports now? Because there's definitely a rising trend of it across all three of them, not just snowboarding, also skating and surfing. You know, from your experience and obviously seeing some of these women come through, why do you think that's happening? What's driving it?
I actually think it's probably a lot to do with visibility. I mean, a lot of what I do, I'm like, well, if she's doing it, why can't I do it? And I think there's probably, you know, a lot of us probably really would have loved to have skateboarded or like played football. Like I would have loved to play football as a kid. Like I'm pretty gutted it wasn't an option for me. So I think now we're like, you know, we're questioning why can't we do it? Because there's no other reason. We're the ones stopping ourselves, right? So once you get over that barrier, you're like, oh yeah, I could just do it. And I think for me, I think a lot of it is just the visibility, seeing other women, you know, just like, well, look, listen, you know, there's nothing special about me doing it. It's just, I just want to do it. And I think a lot of women, once they get out of their heads, you know, I would quite like to try skateboarding. And then someone goes, well, go on then. It's not like, I don't know. I think it's a whole thing. I think it's to do with, you know, people have it with fashion as well. People are like, oh, I can't possibly wear that. And then you'd kind of push them on it and you're like, well, why? And then they're like, well, yeah, I suppose so. And also then if you reverse it and you go, well, look, if you're wearing, you know, if you see me snowboard or you see me wearing a bright pink dress, and then what your hang-ups might, you know, you can look at me and go, well, she's got hang-ups. Aren't they worried about her, you know, acting like a, I don't know, whatever. Like there's just do it, I think. And I think that's what is a huge, like, I don't know what it is, movement towards it. It's just seeing other people do it and questioning why you can't do it.
Do you see women who come to the weekends going through a confidence shift as they stay?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, like I said, it's a nerve-wracking experience to walk in and being like, hi, I'm Zoe, like, nice to meet you. And you know, they get, you know, really nervous. And I think I've had women tell me, you know, they're telling their friends at home, like, yeah, I'm going on this trip. I don't know anyone. And some of them are like, what? You're doing what? You're going on holiday with a bunch of strangers? And they're like, yeah. And then they do it. And then next time they'll bring that friend who's like, who is questioning whether that was a good idea or not. So, yeah, I mean, the confidence definitely is... yeah, it's brilliant. Like that's one of my, that I quite like it when people come on their own actually, because of that, you know, they're thrown into a situation where you just have to just get on with it. And like, and I think with skiing, you know, we on our trips, we definitely like divide people up into abilities, but likewise, you know, if they want to swap or hang out, you know, it's just great. I love it.
You've obviously snowboarded since you were quite young and done a lot of it. Like, you know, the people I meet who've done seasons, their ability and confidence levels are off the charts, I think, versus those who do it a week, you know, each year. It's a very different journey. But have you had confidence challenges with that or surfing or skating as you've dabbled in them?
I used to be a lot more confident, I think, or not even confident, just braver, you know, like you had less to lose. I'd hit a big rail and that would be fine. But I've also got better. So as I've got better and better, I've got more and more confident. But I think I'm slightly less risk averse, you know, like I, in the past where I would have, you know, jumped a massive jump or gone over a big rail, now I just don't bother. I guess part of it is I don't need to prove that anymore. But also, you know, if I injure myself, I've got three kids and two businesses that are going to suffer. And I'm quite happy just cruising. But also, I like to push myself. Like, we had a really amazing off-piste day in January.
I saw that. It looked phenomenal. Oh,
it was just, like, the best. I was just charging. And I just, you know, the adrenaline, like, the fun was just, like, I didn't want it to end. I was like, this is the best day ever. So, yeah, I'm not, but I also know, you know, there's certain things I won't do. I'm more sensible than I was. You know, I won't go off piste without a guide now. And like, there were times when I'd just hoon it around a mountain, quite, you know, some dangerous situations I put myself in. But yeah, I definitely, yeah, I just love it. I love talking about snowboarding.
I think the consequences is definitely something that comes to mind now. Like, when I speak to people, particularly going into skateboarding, I think there's something in people's minds about the concrete. And, you know, the first thing they do say is, but if I hurt myself, you know, I can't work. I can't support my kids. I physically can't look after my kids. And I think that that is at the forefront of people's minds. And obviously that is going to be a little bit of an inhibitor, that you're worrying about consequences when you're doing something. And it doesn't seem to apply to everyone. But I do think motherhood is something that goes hand in hand with that quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely. And like with the skateboarding, actually, you know, like I've got a friend who's a skate teacher and I've been a bit skating with her a bit. But I know, like, I won't go skating. Well, now I'll go skating, but I can't risk having a skateboarding injury and then not being able to go snowboarding. So once the ski season's over, for me, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit of a less risk. But I also think it's important to be fit as well, with surfing as well, especially. Like, if you're not fit, you can't do it. So you've got to have a base level fitness to be able to, especially at my age, like our age or whatever, you can't, you know, where before it was just like, oh yeah, I'll just hike up for 3 hours on a mountain. Like, you have to be fit enough to do it, because if you're not strong, you can't get up on the surfboard. If you can't, you know, you don't have the stamina anymore. So I definitely think, you know, I'm fitter now because I want to do the things that I used to do.
I think there's an aspect of that in preventing yourself from getting injured as easily as well, because, you know, I'm on various different WhatsApp groups for skating and surfing. And, you know, there obviously isn't a clear gender split on this, but there is a little bit of a bias that the skaters I know who are guys skate as much as they can possibly skate. And they are definitely doing slightly more daring things, but they don't do anything around it. So there's no yoga. There's no, you know, activity to keep their core strong. There's none of that. They just want to skate as much as they can, whereas the girls I know who do it, it tends to be within other activities, and those activities I think are really important in terms of you falling properly, in terms of you not actively hurting yourself in quite the same way. But it, like, that stuff, you just can't avoid it as you get older, sadly. Kind of, you know, we're not in our 20s anymore, have to keep remembering it.
Yeah, I agree.
So when we're talking about confidence, I think it maybe applies back to your business, because I think the interesting part of your journey that I've observed is you now have your own sunglasses brand and obviously other products alongside that. So can you talk to me about that? Because I know that journey's not easy, and making the leap into doing it obviously is fraught with risk as well, right? How has that journey gone, and what made you decide I'm going to do something for me here and I'm actually going to release products into the world?
Yeah, I mean, I've all my life wanted to be, to own a brand. I don't know why I wanted to have my own company. Like, I don't know. I studied, my background is 3D design. So I studied that at university and I was pretty good at it. And I think, you know, I went into trend research and agency life and, you know, all social media, it all kind of linked back to design. I was always, you know, the one working out how things are made, like I love furniture design and all that kind of stuff. So when I was recently, I mean, well, the sunglasses brand launched because I was kind of, I actually was doing a talk in Bath and I was talking about how I wanted to move into products as a kind of, this is about, when was this? I guess this is about 6 years ago. And this woman in the audience came up to me after and was like, would you ever be interested in doing sunglasses? And I was like, yes, like sunglasses are the perfect thing because, you know, they're 3D design, you know, I can design them with my design background, they're fashion, you know, they're, you're basically going to have fun when you're wearing sunglasses, right? You're normally, because you're outside, it's sunny. So I was like, yeah, I definitely would. And we got on very well. And she has a background in, you know, she has contacts with factories and all that kind of stuff. So we were like, right, I was like, yeah, let's try it. So I made some sunglasses with her help. They were under the Dress Like a Mum brand and they did really well. And I loved doing it. And then did it again and again, they went really well. And then I kind of wanted to be in a position where I could separate Dress Like a Mum, you know, with this brand. So 3 years ago, I kind of relaunched them under the name Zoe De Pass Eyewear. And yeah, like they've been going pretty well. I mean, last year was quite hard with all the cost of living crisis and people not buying anything and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But this year, I've kind of got two styles launching this year. My plan, maybe this will come true now, I'm going to say it. But yeah, the idea, like with the snowboarding, was to build an amazing sunglass company, sell it and buy a ski chalet. So that's the mission I'm on at the moment. And yeah, it might not be a chalet. It might just be a ski locker at this point. But, you know, I'm really hoping that... yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, for me, like the sunglass company is like a perfect like direction to be going in because it kind of, it uses every skill I've learned up until this point. It, you know, it's encapsulates everything I love, like being outside, sports, you know, festivals, sunshine, design, colour. And so it feels a very natural thing for me to be doing. I think I've just got to get now through the recession, but it is hard. Like, you know, that's money I've invested. It's like time. It's, you know, it's emotional if someone doesn't like your sunglasses or I don't know. It's a bit, it's really hard work. But I think another long-term plan, it would be that the sunglass company puts on the events as well. So, you know, it'd be a Zoe De Pass Eyewear ski trip or, you know, if you kind of think about, if you put it like it was a Ray-Ban has a skate club, you'd know what you know, you'd know what to expect from that kind of skate club. So it would be, I'd love to be in a position where the eyewear brand are sponsoring events, like, you know, all the things you get involved with and yeah, putting on their own events. And that's what the sunglasses company gets known for. But you know, it's taking a bit longer than I hoped.
It's good to have a bigger vision like that, though. Like, I identify with that so much because I always said for bored women, the end goal for us is to have a kind of a retreat location that's one mountains, one jungle, one beach. And that's what everything is aiming towards ultimately, is to kind of have that and know that you're kind of full all year round and we can live in different places. So I think the bigger goal is good to have, even if there are many, 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 many steps on the way together. You talked before, and this is something that I talk about a lot with people about these board sports and why I feel like they're different to going running, going cycling, any other, you know, brilliant activity, but why I think they're different is that mental focus that you have while you're doing them, because you genuinely can't think about other things while you're doing them. You have to focus because otherwise there's normally significant fallout for not. And one of the things I read about you that I really respected, and I think it was in your introduction about yourself that you did earlier this year on social, was that you take a day off social media each week, and that everyone should try doing that. And I think particularly for somebody who's, you know, a lot of your business is based around the world of Instagram and your audience. So, you know, what prompted you to start doing that? How do you manage that? You know, what do you get from it? I'm interested in that side of the journey.
I am very realistic about social media and my life. Like, I'm in a really lucky position, but I really like my real life more than social media. Like, yeah, I just love spending time. And I think it came from, like, a while ago. This is quite a basic thing to say, but if I'm going out and getting drunk with my friends, or when I watch other people, you know, going out on a, you know, for a nice dinner, or, you know, going to a club or a festival, and, you know, they might be drinking or not drinking, that's beside this point, but they're documenting it. And that was how it started a few years ago. And I was like, but they can't be having so much fun if they're thinking about filming it and proving to others that they're having that much fun. So I very quickly was like, I'm never going to do that. If I'm out with my friends and I'm having a good time, it's just, I'm not going to, you know, I'll take photos just for fun and for like my friends, but I won't document it, because you can't be in the moment if you're not in the moment, if you've got another screen and another filter. So I, you know, it kind of started from that. And I was like, I have a no, like, drinking or going out policy. I just won't film it. If I'm out with my friends, no, it's just not happening. I've got nothing to prove. Like, it'll be detrimental to the fun I'm having. So that's probably how it started. And then it was just like, I mean, there's a huge trend on social media to overshare, and that's something I've never done. And it's not something for me that I will ever do. Like, I just, some of the stuff some people say on social media, I can't believe it. It's like selling your soul, you know, it's like that just won't happen. And again, it was just being more like present. Like, really, if you don't post one day a week, or you don't look at your Instagram one day a week, what's going to happen? Like, well, you'll probably get punished by the algorithm, but the flip side is you'll have a really nice day and you won't look at your phone. You'll be like in the moment with your kids or your friends, or, you know, painting a room or digging a hole in the garden. And you just do it. You don't have to tell people about it. I don't know. I think, so yeah, I have lots of weird little company policies, and bearing in mind, I'm the only one in the company. I don't have to run them by anyone, but yeah, it's really freeing, because you could just have a day. You know, it was Mother's Day yesterday. I didn't post a picture of my mum because I was with my mum. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think it's, social media is a dangerous place if you don't have boundaries, and I've got a lot of boundaries, and it makes me have a happier life. Like, honestly, I just
I agree with all of it. Like, I don't post at weekends, and I actively decided not to do that when I did the social, because it's so overwhelming as it is to do it every single day. It's a lot. It takes, you know, it's not the same, I don't think, as when we were younger and a social media post was just a picture. And it was quick and it was dirty. It's so different now. It's so much more design-led. It takes time. And I think you do have to have those boundaries around it. And I think if you don't have those in place, like you say, I think it can be a really dangerous space mentally. But for me, the real challenge is, I mean, it's obviously about board sports. And so there does need to be a decent amount of content on that. And I recognise that part of my journey is important in that. But when I go skateboarding or something like that, I'm often doing it to escape. So the last thing that I really want to do is to sit and film myself whilst doing it. So I have to actively remember, particularly when we run events, which are really fun, you know, to go, oh, okay, do you have to capture some content of this at some point? Like, do you have to remember to take a photo at some point? But I found a really lovely solution is that everyone who's there actually takes loads of footage and photography. And I just get them all to send it on afterwards. And it's really nice. Yeah. So I don't have to be quite as stressed about it. But the balance is important, I think, between, you know, the real world fun and the coverage of the fun.
Exactly. And actually, anyone who's observant will notice I go on these ski trips and it's suddenly like a social media blackout, because I'm basically just, having so much fun. I'll be like, oh, God, quick, post a few posts on the chairlift. Yeah, you've got to live your life, and like the real world's the real world, and it is more fun, especially if you commit to it. So, yeah, it's just crazy. Like digital, social media, it's all absolute madness out there. So I think it's good to keep perspective and, yeah, like just enjoy being outside and like think about something else rather than what am I going to post. And you know, then often if you put that much pressure on what you're going to post, you just have a mental block and you can't post anything. So yeah, I just was like, no, just not posting today. And likewise, you know, if I'm really not you have to play the game. Like Dress Like a Mum is a business for me. I have to play the game, I have to put the content out, but I'm also aware that like I've got to live my life, otherwise there is no content, and like there's no, like, I don't know, just no creativity if you're just stuck thinking about these fake posts you're going to do, or this, you know, what else can I tell the internet, a personal information about myself, then you'll just go mad. Like, what's the point?
Absolutely. What would you give, just to round us off for our interview, what would you give as any last tips to any women thinking of giving board sports a go and why they should?
I think I would, if they're thinking about it, they're halfway there, I think. And I think if you've got a desire, if you've got your eye on it, it's because you've thought about it. And if you've thought about it, then you probably want to do it. And if once you want to do something, yeah, I think you're pretty much 70% there. Then you just need to get around to doing it. So you just get your stuff together, work out how to do it. And then when you reach 100%, you're actually trying it. And again, like, what's the worst that can happen? You don't like it, you've tried it, you've got a story to tell, you tried it. Or, you know, the best thing can happen is you just feel euphoric and like a sense of achievement.
So that was my chat with Zoe. What always strikes me with Zoe is how she makes up her own rules in business and in life, and her focus is always on being in the moment. We can get so caught up with the world of Instagram and how we come across to others, but she never seems to care what people think, and that's really refreshing. If you want to find out more about what Zoe's doing, particularly in relation to her board retreats, then check out Dress Like a Mum on Instagram. If you enjoyed this conversation, please do like it, review it, and share it with your friends. It really does help to get the podcast noticed. We've got a big vision for Board Women and we want you to be part of it. So do check out our upcoming events and how you can get involved at Board Women on Instagram and boardwomen.co. I'll be back in a couple of weeks when I'll be talking to the amazing Orby, or you might better know her as Auntie Skates on Instagram.